Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The FT.
A brutal and unaccommodating slice of social realism is coming to town. A new play at Hammersmith's Lyric Theatre promises to chill the blood. It's the story of two men who, as the publicity describes, wake up every morning to the same old, sickening sight of each other. Their lives knitted together as tight as a thrice-darned sock. They are poor, ill-educated and related. The father spends most of his limited energy undermining his son. The son is desperate to escape his father's psychological clutches, but his every attempt is stymied. An impasse. Stalemate. The two men argue but get nowhere. It's a kind of living hell, a forensic examination of human inertia in the style of Beckett or Buñuel. You're probably not finding any of this funny. And yet, Steptoe and Son is among the most lauded British situation comedies of the last half century. It made its debut in 1962, the year of the first Beatles single and the first Bond movie, as the antithesis of those two epochal cultural phenomena. Steptoe was resolutely unglamorous and contained not a hint of the upward social mobility that was seemingly sweeping the country. This was a vision of the 1960s that was rooted in the economic depression of the 1930s. History repeating itself. No, 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 in a world that was about to start singing yeah, yeah, yeah. There were some laughs along the way. Here's a clip from the second series, in which Harold, played by Harry H. Corbett, finds Wilfred Bramble's Albert having dinner in the bath.
What are you doing with them onions?
Oh, they fell in the water.
Well, you don't put them back in the jar, then.
Hey, I don't think I'm going to leave in the water, do you? I'm not washing a bath full of pickled onions, can I?
You should be eating your dinner in the bath. The bath is for washing in. You bath in the bath and you eat your dinner at the dinner table. You're getting worse, you are. Come on, give them a zeal. Come on.
In later series of the television show in the mid-1970s, writers Ray Galton and Alan Simpson relied on the by now familiar catchphrases that ignited the rows between the two men. "You dirty old man" always brought the house down. The situations became sillier, the insults more scabrous. Jokes repeated themselves. Albert's pretend heart attacks, Harold's unattainable dolly birds. But the soul of Steptoe and Son resides in the melancholy monochrome of those early pioneering episodes. In the pilot, The Offer, it wasn't clear that this was a comedy at all. Harold decides to leave his father once and for all. He says his brusque goodbyes, loads the cart. But he can't budge it. He pushes and pushes, but it doesn't move an inch. He bursts out crying. The sequence is uncomfortably long. The metaphor is cruel as it is crude. Albert sidles across the yard to put a paternal arm around his son. "I'll put the kettle on," he says. "Get the old sausages going. You like sausages, don't you?" Harold is crushed and inconsolable. He's going nowhere. Emma Rice is the director of Knee High's production of Steptoe, opening next week in London after highly acclaimed performances in the rest of the country. She says the show is in keeping with the darkness of those early episodes. I tell her I find them almost unwatchable. "It's the story of two people caught in the poverty trap," she counters. "They are angry with each other, with their situation. The scripts are exquisite, but not so full of laughter." Rice sees a certain synergy between the themes explored in Steptoe and the ties that bind the members of Knee High, the Cornwall-based company founded in 1980 that has given such lustre to the concept of community theatre. "We are such a family and so used to the tension between always wanting to go away and then wanting to come back to each other," she says. "We totally understand the pain of that situation." The production is certainly more expansive and fantastical than the television series, but faithful to its social significance. Rice has a record in turning popular culture landmarks into thrilling theatrical adaptations. There was the Powell and Pressburger masterpiece A Matter of Life and Death at the National Theatre, as well as Brief Encounter and The Red Shoes. To be truthful, she says, I regard myself above all as a storyteller, and as I didn't have a fantastic education, most of my references come from popular culture, films and television. Her revisits are a testament to the lasting power of works that were perceived as ephemeral but have turned into something more resonant. Whisper it softly, but it may just be that television sitcoms and cinematic melodrama teach us more about the age in which they were produced, and indeed human nature, than more apparently ambitious works. Their cursory dismissal is our loss. Steptoe left us another legacy. Its deft mixing of comedy and drama was decades ahead of its time. Today there's a word for it, the dramedy, a hybrid and complex form that leaves us hovering between wry laughter and quiet despair. Watch Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon in the BBC's strangely underrated The Trip, or Channel 4's promising The Mimic, or HBO's Enlightened. They are funny, but also uncomfortable. Pathos is fast becoming the keynote of our age. Steptoe did it better than most. In the third episode of that searing first series, The Economist, Harold brings back from his round 4,000 sets of false teeth, which he has bought for £40 and intends to sell at a profit. The scene when he explains the scheme to his father is a little surreal and played mainly for laughs, but we're brought sharply back to more solemn affairs. It's horrible, says Albert, looking disgustedly at the cartload of teeth. It's like Birkenau. Humour never lay so closely to real calamity. Nowhere was it better persuaded that there was no such thing as a free laugh.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.